Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited because we're going to do some equipping today, some educating today. I have an incredible author team of Tanya Eberhart and Michael Carr. They're the authors of Brand Face. And if you go on Amazon, there is just a list of these, but I love it. Brand Face, how to differentiate yourself through personal branding. Tanya, Michael, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Sean. It's great to be here.
Thank you, sir.
So I like to always start with, okay, what made you want to write this book? What qualified you for it? Because there's always a backstory to it. So I love the name from a branding standpoint. Brand Face is great. So give me the genesis of, okay, we got to write a book because of this.
Okay. Well, it all started selling vacuum cleaners door to door. I bet you weren't expecting that.
No, but so, I think I have before. What's the name of them?
Oh, Electrolux.
Oh, there was another one that I did really short term. I forgot what the name of
Kirby.
Yeah, there. Yeah, with all the, yeah, whatever.
They were my nemesis, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. They had the water tank, like the water. They
got Rainbow.
That's Rainbow.
Yeah. Oh, Rainbow. That was it. Yeah, Rainbow.
That was my other nemesis.
There you go. So back to Electrolux.
Okay. So I sold vacuum cleaners door to door for 3 years to pay my way through college. And I learned then how important a story was to get in the door. You can't just walk up and say, open your door, get out your wallet. I need you to buy an expensive vacuum cleaner. So you had to kind of craft a story just to get in the door. And so I learned that then. And then along the way, I became discovered by somebody in radio. This engineer called me one day. I sold he and his wife a vacuum cleaner and shampooer combo. That was the big deal, right? And he called and said, look, I have a radio station and I think you'd be great in sales. And at first I wasn't interested, but then fast forward 18 years later, I was still in the media world. So the moment I stepped into the radio world, I noticed another level of personal branding. I went to these networking conferences and events, and I noticed that people would walk into the room and they were like rock stars, but they were just business people. So I thought, what do these people have in common? Well, they were the face and the voice of their own business. They were voicing their radio commercials. They were in their TV ads, their newspaper ads, on billboards, things like that. And I thought, wow, what great authority they have because of that. So that's really over the next 23 years or so, I used that thread of personal branding in everything that I did. Even from a sales side, I would bring in clients and say, okay, I'm going to help you work on your TV commercial, or your radio commercial, or get the photo shoot ready for your billboard or whatever that was. And so in 2013, I came up with this idea. It was probably 2012. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of books out there about personal branding, but how many of them actually kind of walk you through and showcase exactly how do you become the best face of your business? And so that's when the first Brand Face book was written. And I was about halfway through writing that first Brand Face book just for business owners when I met this gentleman, and he became my first real estate client. And
I was going to say, because that's so funny, I wrote that on my card when I went through all your ones. Real estate was the next one. We're going to jump in with you in a second, Michael, but I want you guys to grab something for a second. If you've read any of my books, and I know you have, one of the biggest things I talk about, I always say, you got to have a story. You got the power of a story, and you are your brand. And if you can't be it, you better partner with somebody who's willing to be it. Because if you look at Microsoft, okay, you have Bill Gates, but there was a Paul Allen. Okay. There was a Steve Jobs, but there was a Steve Wozniak. Somebody has to be the face of the company with an energy and a story or something compelling. Because it's funny that you said that. When I moved to this new city like 21 years ago, and I was doing a direct mail magazine, and it's totally 100% what you're talking about. And since it's my show, I can go longer than 10 minutes. So my time doesn't count. So, yeah. So when I would go talk to people about going in this direct mail magazine, because three people had failed in my city, and it was Charlottesville, Virginia. I mean, incredible city, very wealthy, UVA here. I brought like what was in the old, like the photo books, you know, the one page where you stick the pictures underneath, like the Polaroids. And I had a picture of my family, my dog, that my house, the neighborhood I lived in. And it was kind of like, listen, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. This is my family. I'm all in. And I would look at it. I said, listen, all I can tell you is this. I was a Division I wrestler in college. I don't lose a lot. Don't bet against me, because if you don't take this ad, no, this is a God's honest truth. If you don't take this ad, I will have your competitor in there. As I told Domino's Pizza, he was actually in a lawsuit with the guy before me. I said, if you don't take it, I'm going to have Papa John's. I said, so look at me. Bet you're betting against me. Bad bet. I went to Goodyear. I never forgot. And I said, he goes, well, I don't want my competitors. And I said, great, buy three ads and you own their space. And I learned that first day. I said, okay, I'm going to have exclusivity. Cause if you buy two ads, then you can buy your competitor spot. So I came up with that on the fly, but it was the power of a story. And my story was, hey, listen, I'm young. I got a beautiful family. I ain't going anywhere.
So and either, I'm a fighter.
Either get on the bus or get off of it, but I'm going to be the one you regret not betting on.
I love that.
That's bold.
Bold. That's up. Yeah. I love bold.
Yeah.
But it's also absolutely true.
It is. So Michael, tell us how you jump in this whole thing with real estate.
Well, I was trained as an auctioneer. That was always my passion.
You have that voice. You're already started with that cadence, like 30 cents, 25 cents.
That's right. I can't get away from it.
Yeah.
But no, that was my first passion, cars and equipment. But one of my mentors said, go get your real estate license. You'll make a little extra money on the weekend selling a farm sale. So I did. And for years and years, I was just a circuit auctioneer around the Southeast, based in Georgia. And I would sell real estate and cars and equipment. And then I opened up my own brokerage in 2000 just because I wanted autonomy. I didn't want anybody to tell me I couldn't go do a sale with another competitor or whatnot. And still just being an auctioneer, making better than a living, doing good. In 2006, though, when the mortgage debacle hit, I teamed up with a company out of Irvine, California. And because of my expertise, they got together, collaborated, and we sold a 300 home sale in Atlanta, sold like 294 of them. So we said, this will work. And we went after the Bear Stearns portfolio and we got it and sold about 60, 70% of that whole portfolio. I ended up licensed in 33 states. I had an office here in Atlanta, an office in Irvine, California, and an office in Seattle, Washington, spent a lot of time in New York, Chicago, Dallas, all the major cities. And so auctioneers always working themselves out of a job. So when I was done with that, we were closing down offices, and thank goodness things began to repair themselves. I had my own portfolio here in Atlanta. I wanted it to come back to value and do better. That was, you know, I didn't want it to stay in the tank like anybody else. And come back home and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I bought a piece of property, and the other agent on the other side, we worked really good together. She said, hey, you should open up a brokerage. Well, it never was my plan. And I was like, well, if you'll come on board, I'll do it. And she's okay. So she came on board. We opened up, hung her shingle out. And then the next thing she said was, your marketing is horrific and you need to meet my niece, which is Tanya.
Yeah.
So she told me, Tanya was expecting my call. Tanya told, she was telling Tanya, Michael's expecting your call. I was still going all over the country. First time we spoke on the phone, I was in San Bernardino, California, getting ready for an event. I really drilled her and what she had and her concepts and her idea. I did not know she was halfway through writing a book. But I did understand she was teaching me the power of being the face of your brand while she was pitching me this idea. And I hired her and we never looked back. And we're still climbing, still hungry as a company. We sell more properties now in a week than we used to sell in a year.
And it's funny going back, and I'm going to extract some great stuff from you, but I want to bring the audience back into this. A brand, like I do all my TV commercials and we do Super Bowl ads here in my area. I mean, I spend big money on ads. They're only allowed to say one name. A customer is only allowed to say two things in a commercial: the name of my company and my first name. Never allowed to mention any of my staff, anything. It is Sean. Brand. I worked with Advantage and Sean. And I let them know that because, hey, employees are going to come and go. I'm the consistency of it. And people, and I'll go in places now all the time, restaurants or whatever, and they go, I've seen you. And it's purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
It's purposeful. And if you, and I tell, and I think we're going to jump back into your book and all that, because I think my audience needs to understand this. It's a process that, you know, there's a great book called The Speed of Trust, incredible, by Stephen R. M. Covey or M. R. Covey. It's the son of, and he talks about it, when somebody likes you and trusts you, it's based on confidence. The sales come easy. I was joking with my son yesterday. I had my phone and I said, I have 1,000 people in this phone that trust me. 1,000 people, because I just got a call and they're like, Sean, hey, we're getting ready to do this deal, wanted your opinion on it. And my son overheard it because I had it on speaker. And I said, I have 1,000 people that will call me and ask me and pay me any amount of money. I'm not going to take advantage of that. I said, but I've built that I have that brand. Mm-hmm. They know, yeah. Sean, if Sean says he's going to do it, it's done. That's what they know. If he says he'll do it, it's done. You don't, you close your eyes. It's done. That's the brand. And that's why I love this interview.
Yeah, it's absolutely true too. She taught me you are building that. See, I just thought I would just fall back into the wayside, right? And I'm just like, oh, we'll have a brokerage, we'll tinker with it, it'll grow, we'll do fine, right? You know, but she's like, no, right? And she's shoving me out on, you know, shoving me on the radio commercials and making videos and
billboards
and all of, and like, no, brochures and, oh, we need another brochure. It's like, she's pushing me. But what I realized, what she taught me about the time she finished the book and then asked me to co-write the second book with her, what I realized was how it works. Like it really does. Like, people know if I go into the post office, even in our town, even though we have 3 other affiliate brokerages in 2 other states, right? Tennessee and Florida and Georgia. If I go into my small town, people know who I am. They ask us about the Santa Claus event that happens at my office every year. They ask me about sales into regions, or they ask me about the zoning that's going on changing, you know, because they know that
you're the authority. You're the authority in this of it. In my area of my expertise, I'm the authority on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll even tell them, hey, listen, I always say this, I don't really care if you do business with me. I say, because we're going to stay busy regardless. I always say that. If we're not doing something for you, don't worry, we'll be doing it for somebody else. But let me just give you some friendly advice. I always say that. If you were my neighbor, let me tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether they do business with me or not, I want them to know, you know what, he was smart.
He knows.
Yeah, he knew.
Knows his stuff.
Yeah, you know what I always say? Listen, people only choose me because they can't afford me. It's not because they don't want me. I always say that to my partners. I said, listen, people never not choose us. They just can't afford us. Don't ever take it personal. They just can't afford us. They want us, but they just can't afford us.
Right.
That's true. And that's okay, because not everybody's in alignment, right, as well.
Absolutely.
It's not. We always say a great brand is polarizing, right? It's not meant to make people mad or push them away, but by the nature of how you present yourself, some people are just not a fit and some are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love to get into something slightly controversial, which is okay. I always said, whether you like them or you don't like them, the big orange guy built a hell of a brand. You don't become the 45th president of the United States or the 44th at the time. I'm not quite sure which one it was. I always say, whether you like them or you don't, that is a moot point.
Right.
That is the greatest illustration of a lifetime of branding in the next to P.T. Barnum. And I was
saying, that's so true.
Whether you like him or not, and I'm going to do the other side of that. The person he beat is the greatest example of personal branding negatively.
Yeah.
Negatively.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It was two brands, two very polarizing opposite brands. One
absolutely
was not so likable. The other was, man, I think he'll probably do it if he says he's going to do it. I think he'll fight for it. Again, I don't care whether you like him or you don't like him, because I can go back to Obama. Obama had a much better brand than McCain did at the time. McCain looked old, tired, pissed off, and ornery. He was a neighbor that threw your kids' ball. Right, didn't he?
And he was fresh and new and bringing forth
hope and change. What a brand.
Hope and change. Absolutely. A great orator.
And you're right. Whether it's controversial or not, that's what you believe about that person, right? But you can't deny the effectiveness of that brand. And in fact, before Donald Trump became president, he was listed as one of the first few people. In all of our branding books, we give a list in the very first few pages of examples of great personal branding. And he's in there before, and we had to, when we updated the book, we had to update it, and he became president of the United States, right? So Oprah Winfrey, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who are a great face of their brand, regardless of, you know, what your belief system is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely
it's a moot point, but the effectiveness goes without, you know, it's self-evident. I always say self-evident. Let's just leave it at that.
To everything. Like, if you want to put together a powerful Wall Street hedge fund that's going to attract a lot of private equity investment, tell me that it doesn't matter who's on that board. What do they read? Yeah. They read all of their story. They read how they got there. Jonathan Gray doesn't get to $136 billion because people don't know who he is and his story and what he's done and what he's accomplished and how his values to that.
And the other side of that is, if you look at Shark Tank, I always say, look, Shark Tank they invest in two things. Okay, they look at your business idea and ask you your sales. Then they look at the person who's standing in front of them and they go, okay, could they be the face of this brand? And the person with the energy and the good story, they invest in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Invest in. It's the combination of both.
It is.
That makes them go, okay, this is the one I got to have.
Mm-hmm.
I love how you said that, because one of my favorite articles or topics that we do is, would your brand stand up to Shark Tank?
Yeah,
because
it's true.
It's true.
And it goes on the flip side of that also. The person, you know, they might get more than one offer, and they'll choose which one of the people that they think not only monetarily can help them, but do they have that expertise to help them if they're thinking right about their business?
And the right ideal.
Because the partner has to work the other way too. And you've got to know who you.
I think it's absolutely critical. So tell me this. Give me some. Everybody's going to, this is really simple. You're going to go on Amazon. You're going to go to Brand Face. Okay. There's like tons of books, black cover. And, you know, I think the writing is in red. I ordered one. I ordered the Entrepreneur one. Okay. So,
there you go.
So I always order books with my, of anybody who's been on my show, but give my audience, they just started a company. Give them advice on how they can do this. Cause I always say, you can't give it all away. Right. They're still going to buy the book. So let's give my audience the cheat sheet on how to brand.
Okay, we can do that. It's called the 3 D's, and it's our exclusive way of doing it. Define, develop, and display. And I'll start with define. Mm-hmm. Define, you're going to define who your ideal customers are, because you can't serve everybody. And if you try to help everybody, you're just going to help yourself right out of business. Second thing is, you need to define the things that are different about you. Better is subjective. Different is inarguable.
You're so true. I had somebody just tell me that. I read something recently and I love that. Different, you can't argue, you can argue about better, but you can't argue about different.
Amen. About different. That's right. Yeah. So everybody has multiple points of differentiation. We have to figure out, okay, which ones are we going to lead with? It's like a political campaign. What's your platform? What are you going to run on? Right.
Exactly.
And that, whatever you're going to run on, meaning that marketing hook or that, you know, we call it a brand identifier. Let's put a tagline out there that kind of like heads people in the right direction and at a glance lets them know, hey, that's interesting to me. Boom. Let me see if it'll open the book. Right. So you look at ideal customers, your points of differentiation, and then you settle on a platform or a marketing hook that is going to be meaningful and important to that ideal customer. Because you might go in 10 different directions with your platform, but if it doesn't matter to the people that you're trying to reach, what does it matter, right? How's it going to help you? So that's the define phase. And we'll let Michael tackle this next one.
Yeah, the second D is the develop phase, right? You can't stop. We tell people, don't fall into the trap of the three amigos. If you have your photo and a tagline and a logo, you are not done building a brand. Those are brand elements. That is not enough. We have people all the time say, I have these. Am I not branded? No, you're not branded, because you have not yet even begun to tell them why your hook develops into a story that matters to them. So all of your development has to be who you are, why you are, why that's important to them. So down to your bio, your spotlight sheets, your brand at a glance, those
the
elements,
visuals,
the background images that matter, right? Because background images are subconscious, but that people can see that subconscious image without any other lettering and associate you to that brand. So it's very important that all of that be developed correctly.
All right, and there's another D.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then finally, there is display. Now that we have the story, we have the parts and pieces that we can now move forward with, it's time to display your brand correctly and consistently, literally everywhere, Sean.
Big word.
Everywhere.
Consistently.
Yeah, consistently.
You don't want, when I met Tanya, I had 6 construction trucks on the road and the real estate company, and 3 of the 6 trucks had a different number on it than the company number. So it had its own brand.
Yeah.
There was no cohesiveness. You got to be consistent, guys. You got to have one message that hammers home all the time for the rest of your life.
And a look, feel, story to match it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I love it. This is so good. Define, develop, display. Listen, I have the authors of Brand Face. I have Tanya Eberhardt and I have Michael Carr on the show today. Listen, audience, if you don't have a brand, you're going to always struggle. The brand, it hits your customers sometimes before your company does. They really determine who they like and trust.
They're
always deciding that. It's always a like and trust wins. It just wins. And that's the power of personal branding. Again, listen, I want to thank you both for being on the show. How can my audience get in touch with you all, connect with you and all that good stuff?
How about brandfacestar.com? Brandfacestar.com. That's where you can learn more.
All right. That's pretty easy. That's brandfacestar, as in a star in the sky, .com. So listen.
As in you are the star of your business.
That's right.
I love it. Again, I have Tanya Eberhardt and Michael Carr, the authors of Brand Facers. A lot of books on Amazon in regards to branding under this, you know, this brand that they've created, Brand Face. brandfacestar.com. This is Sean Castrini with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, equipping, encouraging, and educating entrepreneurs in the least amount of time possible, brought to you by GetStartedMarketing.com. If you need more help, you need more leads, reach out to GetStartedMarketing.com.